Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay. Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode this evening, I am and the host are very appreciative that you are joining us again for another study. And we are now in the book of Proverbs. We'll continue with excitement, revealing those truths and those nuggets that Solomon left with us. And I highly suggest then that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops and tablets and Bible apps and our regular Bibles, and your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we'll have a commercial break, which during the time there, you may ask questions or comment or even inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always love to do, I thank every one of you, especially those who have given me feedback on this particular show. And I am telling you, my brothers and sisters, I'm using what you're giving me, so please continue to feel free to give me that advice. And as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give thee another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's taken from John chapter 14, verse 15 and 16. Now, the promise is that if you keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, that he's going to send you another assistant to help guide you through this world that you are living in, that we are living in. And Jesus said again, this time through Apostle Paul, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And that's taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. So the promise is that it's going to be good. The things that are occurring in your life is going to be good, going to be according to God's purpose and calling. Jesus said again, he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear correctly, shall more be given. And that's taken from Mark chapter 4, verse 24. So the promise is that if you hear correctly, you should receive what you hear for sure. And if you hear it correctly, that you're going to receive benefits from that. So again, my precious brothers and sisters, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ? Now, before we get started, I always identify this significant part of the study, which is the code which the Bible is written in, meaning mysteries and secrets and parables, paradoxes and prophecies and proverbs and riddles and symbols. And the only way to break through that is through study and learning. And that's why we're here together this evening, my precious brothers and sisters, to study and learn together. So, okay, let's go to the study. All right, we're going to go to Proverbs. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, we're going to look at verse 23. And as we are reading this and taking this study in, we're actually going to use the instruction and the text synonymously, meaning that the instruction will be the verse or the text that we read. So we're reading Proverbs chapter 23, and this is the instruction. A wicked man taketh a gift out of his bosom to pervert the ways of justice. And perversely, and almost identically, this is what verse 23 out of chapter 17 says. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the way of judgment. And that is so significant to note, to the extent that we know that in Exodus chapter 23, in Exodus chapter 23, Moses rehearses this more succinctly, I think, to Israel in chapter 23, verse 8. This is what Moses says. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blinded the eyes of the wise and perverted the words of the righteous. So that's why it is so important to beware of gifts, because the wicked are using that as an instrument and tool to dissuade and to pervert those of us trying to work the works of the Lord. And this is how Moses continues to talk about it in verse 1 and 2. Moses says to Israel, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline from many to risk or to pervert judgment. 6 and 7, complete the thought. Thou shalt not risk the judgment of the poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thy not, for I will not justify the wicked. So in all that is telling us that the wicked, the evil, are bound and are set on dissuading or disrupting the righteous. And this is why gifts are used for that purpose. And this is what we should be cognizant of and avoid. Now let's go to the New Testament complement. We're going to go to Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. And verse 1 through 10 is going to give us a distinct understanding of that. And Jesus is giving us this understanding. It's Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. And this is how Jesus explained it and how he showed how, in an illustration, confronting Satan, how the wicked, meaning Satan, will use whatever he can in gifts to try and dissuade and to dismantle the righteous. This is what Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 10 says. Then Jesus, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, and I see we're at our first break, so let's take that break, and then we will continue with the instruction.
In the morning, you'll be all right. wonder she walked in crying. No wonder she walked in the door weeping. There was no one else that could fix it. No wonder she kissed his feet and took down her hair and started drying his feet with her hair. Because there was nothing but the blood. Nothing else could do it. Nothing else could cleanse it. Nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could restore it. I've been from bed to bed and man to man and woman to woman. Yes, I'm a sinner. But nothing else could fix it. I ran off with anybody who said they would fix it, but nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could fix it. I didn't mean to be a tramp. I wasn't trying to be a slut, but I couldn't find nobody. Nothing but the blood. 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 I tried everything else. Nothing but the blood. I slept with everybody else. Nothing but the blood. I tried to shoot it up, drink it up, smoke it up, snort it up. Nothing, 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 nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fountain.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with this instruction. And of course, we're looking at a wicked man taketh a gift out of his bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. And this is what the New Testament tells us, gives us illustration. Jesus is telling us in it, and he's using Satan as the evil that is giving a gift to try to dissuade Jesus. Listen again to what it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command thee those stones to be made bread. But Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you can see Jesus thwarted the gift of receiving what the tempter said and doing what he said. And again, the devil said, he took him up to the holy city and sent him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said again unto him, it is not written, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So again, Jesus is showing us that these things that the Satan is offering is to no avail. We should be careful receiving what we are thinking is gifts for what God is not giving us. That's the key, my brothers and sisters. Listen to the rest of the story. It is verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not worship any but the Lord thy God. Only him thou shalt serve. And then the devil left him for, and the angels came and ministered to him. So we can see that as our example. And what this is, should mean to us is that beware of what people are giving you and for what reason. Simple as that, my brothers and sisters. If it's not for godliness, then you tongue in cheek. You be careful how you receive it and how you think that you owe because of receiving what you received. Now let's get back to the lesson. We're going back to Proverbs. Again, we're going to take another instruction from Proverbs chapter 17. Let's look at verse 28. And this, again, is the exact verse and instruction, identical. And this is what the instruction says. A fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And, of course, verse 28 says, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So the thing is, it reminds me of what we're going to read in James, so I won't reveal it yet. But let's look at what Job says about this. This Job is going to add some amplification to it. Job chapter 32. Let's go to Job chapter 32, and we're going to look at several verses in Job chapter 32. And listen to how Job put it. He puts it on this wise. Job chapter 32, verse 1 says, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Okay? Verse 4 said, now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elders than he. So again, this is Elihu being quiet. And in verse 5, when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of the three men who were with Job, his wrath was kindled. Then verse 7 through 9 gives the rest of the thought. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Great men are not always wise. Neither do the age understand judgment. There again, they should be silent, and they will be counted as wise. But if they're not, they may be counted as fools. And that's the key. Now let's go to James. We're going to go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see how James put it. And this is key for us to use today in the circumstance concerning holding our peace. This is what James says in chapter 1, verse 19. James says in chapter 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That is so significant, my precious brothers and sisters, because that is going to maintain your innocence, if you will, until you receive the understanding of what has been presented to you. And verse 5 through 8 gives more clarity by saying, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth it not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you want to be careful how quickly you say what you think is correct until you have an understanding of what to say. That's what is being said by James. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that when you consider what you're going to say before you say it, it will help you with a better choice, a better answer, and a wiser answer. So that's the key, my brothers and sisters. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. That's key. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn again back with me, if you will. We're going to look at Proverbs again. This time we're going to be going to Proverbs 18. We're going to look at verse 3 in Proverbs 18. And, of course, the instruction is identical to the verse. So this is the instruction. When the wicked cometh, then comes also contempt. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? When the wicked comes, then comes also contempt. That is something that we must be aware of. Solomon is telling Israel about that, and this is how he says it in verse 3. When the wicked comes, then comes also contempt, and with ignominy, reproach. And so again, it is like if you are intending to be wicked, then that ignorance is going to be exposed and will be a reproach to you. That's something that we should learn. And of course, we're going to go to Psalms 12, verse 12, and we're going to see how Solomon puts it. Psalms verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1 through 8, and see what Solomon had to say about this. I see we're at the second break, so let's take the second break, then we'll complete the instruction.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In this verse, Jesus commanded his disciples and us to be wise as serpents. The word wise is the Greek word which means prudent, careful, cunning, discerning, thoughtful, intelligent, or sensible. This word perfectly depicts the behavior and actions of the snakes. They are very careful, discerning, intelligent, and prudent in how they act. It is fact that Jesus told us that we need to be as wise as serpents. There's obviously something Jesus wanted us to learn from the behavior of snakes. If you're squeamish about serpents and snakes, stay with me for the next moment so you can get the full impact of what Jesus was telling us. Remember, Jesus is the one who chose to use a serpent to make this point. So let's consider the behavior of serpents for a moment and see how this relates to us being wise in the way we live our lives. First, when serpents move into a new territory, they don't announce their presence. Instead, they lay low, stay quiet, and blend into the environment. As snakes evaluate a new situation, they see what kind of opportunities are in the area. They identify places of shelter. They find hiding places to protect themselves from the attack. They observe and see where they can find the easiest prey. When all these facts are assimilated, the serpent is ready to act, and Jesus said there is wisdom in a serpent's behavior from which we need to learn. Lesson. When God tells you or me to do something new, it is wisdom for us to move carefully into that new phase of our lives. A common mistake is to act too fast. Acting hastily before all the facts are gathered and assimilated can lead us to make erroneous decisions. In fact, one serious mistake can cause us to lose an opportunity altogether. It's better to lay low, stay quiet, and blend into the environment for a while, learning from the sights and facts we observe. Second, serpents are wise enough to know when to seize the moment and strike. Knowing when to act is as important as knowing when to lay low. When prey passes before a serpent, that serpent knows it's time to strike. If the snake waits too long, the opportunity will pass, and the prey will reach an irretrievable position. Lesson. When it's time to act, put your fears and emotions aside and seize the moment. I have seen so many people pray and pray for divine opportunity to come to them. They wait for that golden moment to come, and at last, it does. A great door of opportunity stands directly in front of them. It's time to act. But rather than seize the moment and walk through that door, they pause just a little bit longer. God brought them exactly what they have been waiting for, but because they pause, they lost the opportunity. When they finally got around to saying yes, it was too late. You and I are not brilliant enough to figure out the right timing for everything by our own logic. So be very careful not to move too fast, and be careful also not to delay when the time is right to act. Open your heart to the Spirit of God, and let Him begin to teach you when to lay low and when to strike. Thanks for watching this video. Share and subscribe for more amazing...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's hear what King David said about the wicked cometh, and then comes also contempt. Listen to the psalm that he rehearsed before Israel, Psalms 12, verse 1 through 8. This is what David said. Help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is our Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Listen, my brothers and sisters, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? The wicked cometh, then cometh reproach. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And we know that is so true in our world today. Okay, let's go to the New Testament compliment, and we're going to see how Jesus puts it in a parable that he gave us, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 25. Listen to how Jesus puts it, and this is so significant. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 19, he says, in Matthew 25, verse 19, I am making sure that I have this correct. Matthew 25, verse 26, this is what Jesus is saying. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not sowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should receive my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them from one another, as the sheep divided the goat, or the shepherd divided the sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them that are on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And the point is that the wicked shall be cast out and contempted. And this is what verse 30 is telling us. I read beyond verse 30, but the point is at verse 30, it says, and ye unprofitable servant, be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the point that is made from this parable that Jesus gave about the talents. And where I wanted to start was the verse 14, where it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And because the wicked one was identified as the least that did what the owner or the householder wanted, he was cast out and reproached and held in contempt for not providing and doing what the householder required. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that when you consider what you are going to say before you, well, that evil begets evil when it is revealed. That is critical. It can only beget evil. And when it is revealed, it will be reproached and held in contempt. That's what I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters. What is hidden will be brought to light. Evil can only beget evil. Okay, let's go back to the next instruction. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 18. This time we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6 and 7. And, of course, the instruction is almost identical to the verses. And the instruction is, a fool's lips enter into contention, and a fool's mouth is his destruction. That is a warning that Solomon has given to Israel, that a fool's lips enter into contention, and a fool's mouth is his destruction. And this is what Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6 and 7 says about that. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So foolishness in general is not good, my brothers and sisters. Being unwise will get you into trouble. And, of course, Psalms 53, David tells us about this in Psalms 53, verse 1 through 6. And this is what David says about it. David says, thou fool, the fool had said in his heart that there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looks down from the heavens upon the men, the children of men, to see if there are any that did understand, that did see God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one. Having the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who will eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. They were in great fear, where no fear was, for God had scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God has despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. So we can see that the lips of those who were foolish ended up in destruction. And now we're at a next break. Let's take that break and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Paul says, take a stand, withstand, and then stand in the evil day. And believe me, the battle for your soul begins in your mind. If Satan can control your thoughts, he'll control your destiny. Because I assure you, when Satan sees you walking down the road like this, he will totally destroy you. You can't possibly survive in your own strength. Why are so many Christians decimated right now? Why are they just absolutely falling out? Because they don't have the strength to endure. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord. That means put on this whole armor. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can get nothing from heaven without faith. Salvation comes by faith. Healing comes by faith. peace, love, and joy come by faith. You are no match for the Prince of Darkness. But when you put on the whole armor of God, you are more than a conqueror. You can look the devil in the eye and say, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Get out of my life. Get out of my thoughts. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my home. Get away from my children. Get away from my health. The power and the anointing of God are with me. And I am the conqueror here. Resist. Steadfast in the faith. The translation is fight him and fight him every day. Resist him and resist him every day. James writes, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Take a stand means you refuse to be intimidated by Satan, who comes as a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5. In nothing be not terrified by your adversary. In nothing be not terrified by your adversary. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The truth is not something. The truth is someone. That someone is Jesus Christ. And when you know him, you have the truth, and you walk in the truth, and you joy in the truth, and you rejoice with truth that is unspeakable and unshakable, because Christ is the solid rock, the cornerstone, precious and elect in Zion. He's not trying to be truth. He is the truth. I want to put on the whole armor of God and come out fighting with fresh fire, that I can be counted worthy to be numbered among the New Testament saints.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete this particular instruction on a fool's lips enter into contention, and a fool's mouth is his destruction. So we can tell you that foolishness is not recommended at all. And we just read the proverb that cited it, and we read the psalm that also amplified upon it. And this is what James has to say about it. Listen to what James says, James chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. My brethren, be not many masters, that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. My brothers and sisters, we know that the foolishness comes out of the heart through the mouth, through articulating, and the tongue controls it. And this is what James is telling us. It's only destruction that comes from that if it's not maintained and bridled correctly. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Do not speak until you have an understanding of what is going on, and make your inquiry beforehand. That is what I want you to get from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 18. This time we're going to look at Proverbs verse 10. And again, it's identical to what the instruction says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. My precious brothers and sisters, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And this is what Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 says. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That is where righteousness should reside, in the Lord. Now let's hear how David the psalmist puts it and gives impetus to it. And this is what David says in Psalms 18, verse 1 through 3. Listen, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. God is all in all. David continues to say, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. That is the promise, and that is why the name of the Lord is your strong tower. Verse 6 continues the thought. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. He will respond to you, my brothers and sisters, regardless of your circumstances. He will respond to you as long as you're breathing in and out. This is what completes the thought. Verse 17 through 20, David says to the Israel. Verse 17, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. My precious brothers and sisters, this is telling us that the Lord is who we go to, the only refuge in the time of need. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how Paul taught it in Philippians. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to see what Paul has to say concerning this in Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verse 9 through 13 in Philippians chapter 4, and Paul puts it on this wise in his illustration. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I spake in respect to want, but for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith be content. I both know how to abase, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That is the bottom line, my precious brothers and sisters. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So we know that when you call upon the Lord, and more especially if you have the indwelling and the Lord is within you, you are going to be successful. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus is our all in all. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, all power in heaven and in earth, Jesus says, has been given to him by the Father. So we should know that within that name, that we can be secure in whatever we do. And that's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs verse 18, and we're going to look at another verse 11, and of course, we're going to also, it's going to be identical to the instruction itself. The instruction is, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. This is something that Solomon talked about. I see we're at our last break. Let's take our last break, and then we'll come back and complete the study.
The power of the tongue. Life and death are harnessed in the power of our tongue. Do we believe this? Even though the tongue is a small thing, it can make grand speeches. A tiny spark, also a small thing, can set a great forest on fire. The rudder of a ship is another small thing that can direct the course of a large vessel. Among all the parts of our body, the tongue is the most powerful and can set your world on fire or breathe life into a weary soul. You choose. The word tells us that our words can be like a scorching fire, separating close friends, stirring up anger, and providing the folly of fools. In contrast, the word also says that our tongue can speak words that bring life. Words like apples of gold, life-giving water or honey to the soul. Our words have impact for good or ill. Our tongue and its power to use words is a unique and influential gift from God. When we read the book of Proverbs, we must notice that verse upon verse about the power of our words keep jumping off the page. Proverbs 12:6 teaches that our words have the power to destroy and the power to build up. Are we using the words from our tongue to build up people or destroy others? Who's in charge of your tongue? Who can we blame when hurtful things come tumbling out of our mouths? It is imperative that we make a conscious decision to control the output of our own tongues. Since our powerful, positive, and beautiful words can heal and uplift, we must be lavish in these words. When spoken with truth, our words have the ability to change lives. Stop and think about how you communicate. Do your words encourage people to achieve greatness? Do your words support and help someone who is suffering? Do your words nurture, nourish, and inspire your own children? Sadly, emotions like hatred, fear, anger, doubt, frustration, and resentment can be expressed and fueled by words as well. Whether words are written or spoken, they have the power to break and destroy healthy environments, as well as relationships. Years ago, I accepted the challenge presented in Ephesians 4:29, which states, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." What a powerful directive. This would be a project in taming my tongue. Witnessing the barren desert of hurtful words, I was excited to go on this new life-giving adventure. I wanted to speak life into my world, starting with my own tongue. Since our tongue wields the mighty power for life or for death, we must be mindful about what we say and how we say it. Consider your words. Your words can change everything.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on this instruction that's saying the rich man's wealth is a strong city. And let's hear what Solomon said in chapter 18, verse 11. He says, "The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit." And let's hear what Ecclesiastes has to add on this, just to give it more of an amplification, more of an explanation. This is what Solomon said about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. This is what Solomon said, verse 18 through 20. "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all of his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. So the rich man's wealth is his strong city. And that is both spiritually and physically, my brothers and sisters. But we know that the spirit comes first. That's the key that you want to make sure you understand, that the spirit comes first. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest he will add to you. So the riches, if it's going to be physical, God will give that to you. But you seek your riches in things that are above, that are in heaven. And that's where Jesus also said that if where your heart is, where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. So you want your spiritual riches to be spoken of first. And this is what James puts it. We're going to compare and agree. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5 in James chapter 2. And this is going to give us what we can follow today, comparing and agreeing. James chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, it says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. That means the spiritual first, my precious brothers and sisters. For if there come unto you assemble a man with a golden ring and a goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect of him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my foot, are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brethren, beloved, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, spiritual things, and heirs of the kingdom of heaven, which he had promised to them that love him? But ye despise the poor. Do not the rich men oppose you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name that which you are called? If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. And that is key. And that's where the rich man in this instance today, we're talking about spiritually rich. And that's the key. And I already mentioned to you what Jesus said about that, that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will add the rest to you. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that our riches is in the glory of God. And Jesus said, hereby is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit and become my disciples, that you want to focus on your spiritual riches. Remember in the book of Revelations, it said the Spirit speaking to the church at Laodicea, and it was so significant. In Revelations, turn with me to Revelations chapter 1 or chapter 2, and it tells us what the Spirit says to the church at, I think it was Smyrna. So it's, we're looking at chapter 2, verse 7, or chapter 2, verse 8. We'll start. It says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So we can see that the Spirit speaking to the church at Smyrna says that I know of your poverty, but thou art rich. And he is talking about rich in the Spirit. And of course, in chapter 3, we read what it says to the church at Laodicea. Listen to how God identifies riches and how you must be careful about putting the flesh before the spirit. Listen to what he said. And unto the angel of the church at Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, and the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because listen, my brothers and sisters, thou sayest, I am rich physically and increased with goods physically and have need of nothing physically. And the Spirit says, thou knowest not that thou art wretched in that state and miserable and poor and blind and naked because you are physically rich. Listen what the Spirit says to the church. I counsel thee to buy of me the gold that is tried in the fire, that's spiritual, that thou mayest be rich, that's spiritual, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou may seest. All of what this is saying in verse 18 is spiritual. We're talking about wisdom of God, love of God, knowledge of God, joy of God, faith of God, peace of God, all those attributes that come spiritually from God through the Holy Spirit. Listen to what verse 19 says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, he with me and I with him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I have overcome and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. So that is so critical, that the rich man's wealth is his strong city. So we know that what we are supposed to do today is to be spiritually rich. That is the key. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that our riches is the glory of God. And Jesus says, hereby is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So as we read this before, and I reiterated that those riches come from the gifts and fruits of God, which are many. And we are aware of what Paul identified as the gifts and the fruit. And we know Paul talked about wisdom, and he talked about love. He talked about knowledge, and he talked about joy. He talked about faith, and he talked about peace. He talked about healing, and he talked about long-suffering. He talked about prophecy, and he talked about goodness. He talked about discerning of spirits, and he talked about faithfulness, and he talked about the diverse kinds of tongues of God, and he talked about meekness, and he talked about the interpretation of diverse kinds of tongues of God, and he talked about temperance or self-control. My brothers and sisters, there are many more, but just those that I mentioned to you, focus on them, and that shall be your strong citadel. And that ends our class for tonight. And before we dismiss, I would like to tell you that on behalf of the host and I, we want to thank you and bless you always, more especially for tonight's participation and encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions.